Today's daf is daf kuf aleph. We're going to start at the top. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to now have, if you remember, we had the Mishnah just to review. Okay, maybe we'll just go back for a quick minute. Well, no one can see it. Hanotein semer latzaba v'igdicho yoreh noten lo demei tzamro. If you remember, if you give tzemer for the dyer to color, and he burns it, so he has to get back the value of the tzemer. Fine, that's a separate thing that we're not going to really be getting into. If he's tzva'o ka'or, if he ruins it, remember if he did it with the sediment and the dye didn't come out well. So then we saw im ha'shevach yeter al yitziah noten lo et ha'yitziah, im yitziah yeter al ha'shevach noten lo et ha'shevach. So then we discussed that there's the amount. What happens in that case is the person who dyed it gives the guy, the guy who bought it, you know, gave it to him to dye, the tzemer, with the dyed tzemer, even though it's not so good. But when it comes to paying him, so I explained it one way, but I'm going to tell you that there's two ways to understand this. We evaluate how much it went up in value and what the expenses were. Okay, now, there's a machloket. Yesterday I said that it means he doesn't get his salary, but there's a machloket about it among the Rishonim, whether Tosfot says he actually, the expenses is his salary, okay, includes his salary, and the other opinion says, no, it doesn't include his salary. Okay, so let's say he does a poor job. Okay, so now, if the Shevach, let's say, so it's worth 100, the tzemer to begin with. Then he puts the dye in, it's now worth 120, instead of, let's say, it was supposed to be worth 150. Now, they had agreed that they were going to pay the guy, okay, let's say, his expenses plus his salary, or, according to the opinion, it's not his salary, but just his expenses were 30. Okay, so if his expenses are 30, and he made it go up by 20, so what's going to happen? Always, the dyer is going to lose out, so he's only going to get 20. Okay, if it were the reverse, where the expenses were 10, and the shevach was 20, then he's going to get the 10. Okay, he's always going to get the lower amount. So that's the way, in this case, tzva'o ka'or, everybody agrees that we do that calculation and that the dyer always loses out. But in the case where, litzva'o lo adom, tzva'o shachor, shachor tzva'o adom, where he did something different than what the guy wanted. In other words, the first case was, he did what the guy wanted, but he did a poor job. The second case is, where he did something different than what the person wanted. So in that case, there's a machloket. Rabbi Meir says, notein lo demeit samro. Rabbi Meir says, in that case, you did something totally different. So the dyer is kone what he did, because he did a shinoi. Okay, this is not a shinoi. This is just a poor job, the first one. The second case is a shinoi. We already learned shinoi kone, right? So he acquires the item. He now has to replace the value of the tzemer. Now, obviously, in this case, the first guy loses out majorly because he gets his tzemer back, but now he's behind a few days and he doesn't get what he wanted when he wanted it. Okay, we don't really relate to that issue at all. But he at least, it's basically you're back to where you started, right? We start with a clean slate at this point. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I don't agree that that happens because what's his thinking? Well, that's not fair to the person who gave him the tzemer. Why should he lose out? So again, he says the same exact thing that we said earlier, which is, depending on, right, the dyer is always going to lose out. He either pays the lower amount, whatever it is, whether it's the shevach was lower than the hotza'ot, or the hotza'ot were lower than the shevach. Okay, so that's, yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda says that he has to pay the dyer.
The dyer, he says the same thing in the first case. The dyer gives him the black wool. Okay, and then let's say
and the difference.
Okay, then the
so
right,
also, okay.
Right.
So
okay, so
the dyer is dishing out the money.
Well, here the dyer wouldn't be dishing out the money. It would be more, what does the dyer get? What kind of salary does he get? He's going to get paid in this case, but he's going to get paid much less than what he was supposed to be getting paid. Okay, he gets paid because he did a job. Okay, he agrees. You did a job, you get paid, but he's going to get paid much less. Tanu Rabbanan. So now we're going to have a braita that basically says the exact same thing, just in a different situation. Hanotein etzim lacharash, la'asot mehem kisei. You give wood to a carpenter to make a kisei, a chair. Va'asot mehem safsal, and instead he decides to make a bench out of it. Safsal, I guess it's more like a stool, right? Obviously, a bench would be bigger, right? We're talking, he has the same amount of wood. He makes like a little stool instead of a chair. Safsal, va'asot mehem kisei. So again, he did something not what the person wanted. This would be the second case, right? The last case in the Mishnah, where Adom Shachor, right? He changes. So again, Rabbi Meir Omer Noten Lo Dmei Eitzav, right? You keep the stool that you made, and you give him back the value of the wood he gave you, and he starts from scratch. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im HaShevach Yeter Al Yitziah, Noten Lo Et HaYitziah. Im HaYitziah Yeter Al HaShevach, Noten Lo Et HaShevach. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda holds by the second that we evaluate how much more is this worth? Is this worth more than the hotza'od? Again, maybe you include the salary in the hotza'od, maybe you just include the raw materials. You have to think about it. If you include the raw materials and you're talking about eitzim to make a safsal and you gave the guy the eitzim, he doesn't have a lot of hotza'od, right? Maybe some nails or something. In other words, what is he really using? In which case, he's really going to get paid very little. Because the carpenter is always going to be yadol atachtona. He's going to get whatever was the smaller amount. Okay, umode Rabbi Meir. But now, okay, this is the reverse order of the Mishnah. But Rabbi Meir would agree with Rabbi Yehuda and say again, we make this evaluation, which is greater, and always give the uman the lower end. Im natan etzim lacharash laso mehem kisei na'a. Vasamehem kisei kaur. He wanted him to make him a nice chair, and he built him a bad chair. Safsal na'a, vasa safsal kaur. Im asher, right, same kind of case. He wanted him to do a safsal that was nice, and instead he made a bad safsal. He did a bad job. Im ashevach yeter al yitziah, noten lo dmei yitziah. Im yitziah yitera al ashevach, noten lo dmei ashevach. Now, with obviously how you measure what's na'a and what's kaur might be a subject to dispute, you know, exactly. Did this come out not the way I wanted and bad, how we say bad? And as when we say with the tseva, so they at least gave us
residue of the pasta.
Right. They said, well, if he did it with real stuff, that's fine. If he did it with residue, then it's bad. Here, I don't know how you would define kisei ka'or and kisei na'a. Okay. Now we're going to have a question. This is going to be long. Okay, let me just count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think there's going to be 8 different interpretations of what this question is. Okay? The Gemara asks a question. We don't exactly know yet what they're talking about, but I'll give a broad definition, and then we're going to go into, the Gemara is going to say, what could they be talking about in this question? It's going to bring a bunch of possibilities, reject them, and then it'll bring a bunch of possibilities that could actually be. Ibayelhu. Yesh shevach sammanim ala tzemer, o ein shevach sammanim ala tzemer. When you take a wood and you turn it into a chair, that's something very noticeable that you've done. But if you take wool and you dye it, is the dye considered something that has bo mamash? It has something, there's something in it, okay? Whereas, you know, you take wood and you turn it into a chair, you've done something different to it. You've built something. If you take clothes and you dye them, so the clothes are still clothes. They're just a different color. So can we measure, can we say that there's something in actuality that's there, the dye itself, or do we say that the dye is just absorbed in the wool and it's really just wool? It happens to be wool that's colored, but is color, really what the question is, and what they're even going to say later, is mar'eh yesh bo mamash. That's, color is just a look. It's just something you see. Or maybe not. That's exactly the question. How do you view it? What do you want to say, Ani?
I was going to say, like, I just think about modern times. It will sound very trite, but there are years where purple is really in. And if it gets dyed brown, then the person might not be able to sell it because it's not the in color. And so the color really does have a lot of value.
Okay, so the color has value in the sense that it can be sold for more money. Okay, but the question is, well, we're going to see. So the question is going to be, what exactly is the question? When is there a question about this? Okay, because it's not so clear. In some cases, it's going to be obvious one way or the other. So let's start reading, and then we'll talk about it at the end. Hey, Chidami, what's the case here? Ilema de gazal samanim. Samanim. He steals, somebody steals the dye, right? The raw materials for the dye. Vidakinu, now what is it? It's usually a plant, some sort of,
yeah,
some sort of plant. What do you do with it? Takinu v'tranu. You grind it down, okay, and then you mix it with water. V'tzava behen. Okay, now, what would you say here? Is there mamash in this? Well, right, what happens? Tepukle mishum dekaninu b'shinoi. In other words, obviously in this case, if you stole it and you... the whole question is irrelevant. It doesn't matter whether the Shevach has some, whether there's actuality to it or not, because no matter what, you have to return the value of the sum of money that you used. Because in this case, what would happen? Classic case of Gezel that we learned, Gezel with a Shinoi. You stole something. What's the thinking that maybe once you put it in the clothes, it no longer exists? And then maybe you don't have to return it, because how can you return it once it's in a shirt, right?
Return the dye.
Return the dye. How can you return the dye? So if you steal dye, so the question is this. If you steal the dye, right, and you put it in clothing, and you dye the clothing, so is there mamash that you actually have to return, or is there not? Now, in this case, there's no question, because you stole raw materials, you change them, you turn them into dye, you were kone, the sammanim with a shinoi. At that moment, before you dyed them and put them into the clothes, you're already chayiv to return the demei sammanim for classic case of gzeila, like we saw before. So, therefore, you'd obviously be chayav, and there's no question here. So, option number two. Lotzricha degazal sammanim shruyim. You stole them when they were already a dye. Someone have a rental car? No? So gazal sammanim shruyim, he steals the sammanim while they're already, right? There's no shinoi. He doesn't do a shinoi to them. They're already ready to put the clothing into. So he doesn't change anything when he dyes the clothes. So now vitzavabahu. And now he dyes the clothes with the ready sammanim. Mai. So maybe this is the question. Yesh shevach sammanim agabe tzemer. Do we say there's shevach sammanim agabei tzemer? This tzemer is basically right when we call the right. I'll give you a good example for why this is a good question. If I sell my shirt, do you look at my shirt as this has dye in it and material, or do you look at it just as a shirt, the material? You really look at it as the material. So do we say that? Well, now you dyed the clothing, you stole the sammanim, but the sammanim are now almost batel to the shirt. It's just a shirt now. So do we say yesh shevach? If we say yesh shevach sammanim agabei tzemer, then the original guy could say, "De'amrali havli sammanai deshakaltinu. Give me the dye that you took. I want it. Take it out of the shirt and give it to me." O dilma, ain shevach sammanim agabei tzemer. Or do we say, no, there isn't any shevach sammanim. This is just a shirt. So what if it's dyed? That's it's not tangible.
What about the
De'amrali? Just 1 second. De'amrali late lach gabai velo midi. You say, I might have stole your sammanim, but right now they're not in existence. Follow?
Okay. What about the damage to the shirt from the constant dyeing? If you've dyed it a different color and you have to...
Oh, the shirt, the assumption in this case is the shirt is your own. You've dyed your own shirt. So we don't care right now about the shirt. Okay, but now they're going to say...
The owner is still out the dye. Like, even if it disappeared, right.
He's still out the dye. But, right. It's a little complicated because he kind of loses out here. Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of water that's absorbed in the dye when it's done, so there's not really that much material that's really been taken out, except that the material has changed from being a plant to being a soupy thing.
I'm sorry, now we're on the case where it was soupy already when he stole it.
Right, so there's not that much material that's ever...
She's saying he hasn't used very much of it.
He hasn't used so much of it?
Ah, you're saying...
Really, there's not
right.
a huge how loss much of it, how much dye is
right, how much dye do you actually use?
If he didn't steal the whole pot, he just stole the amount that he used.
Uh-huh, right. Right, it's a good question. But even so, even if it's not a lot, it's still something. So yeah, the question is, right, sure. Maybe he dyed a lot of things with it. I mean, who knows, right? Okay, so now... they say, wait a minute. Vi ein shevach sammanim agabei tzemer. Mi matzei amrle. Okay, this is exactly your question. If you say there's no shevach sammanim agabei tzemer, mi matzei amrle leilach gabai velo midi? In other words, right, it's exactly what you said. How could he say it's not existent? Neimale, he could say to him, havli sammanai daf seitinu. Give me what you... It's nice to think that maybe that's the question, but that's a ridiculous question because it's true. The guy is still out the sammanim, exactly as you said. He give him back his sammanim. What's the difference whether it's in existence now or not? Ella lahachisa. Why don't we say this? אין שבח סממנים על גבי הצמר ובאי שלום אלי, או דילמה, יש שבח סממנים על גבי צמר, ואמר לי, המלך כמך שקלין. Okay, so do we say, now we're going to start with the Ein Shevach first. Do we say, there's no Shevach Sammanim al Gabei Tzemer, meaning, this item is no longer in existence on this shirt, right? The dye is batel to the shirt. There's no such thing as dye in the shirt. And therefore, you have to pay him just the value of the Sammanim that you stole. Okay, you have to, right? Because remember, the whole question with Gzela is always, do you have to return the exact item you stole? That's the, right? The ideal is, you're supposed to return the item you stole. In certain cases, where you did a Shinoi, right, or something like that, where it's no longer in existence, then you return the value. So do we say you have to return the value of what you stole, or do we say, now this is again, the Gemara is going to say, what are you even talking about? But anyway, or do you say, Yeshevach sammanim al gabei tzemer, v'amar lei, and he could say to him, Hamanach kamech shaklinu, here's the shirt, you can go take the dye out of the shirt if you want. Take your dye and give me back my shirt. Okay? Now, Gemara says, Shaklinu, but my shakli. What do you mean you can take the dye out of the shirt? How are you going to take it out of the shirt? So first of all, we did see, if you remember, that you can take dye out of a shirt. Do you remember this? We saw that you can take the dye out, and how do you do it? With some sort of cleaning material. Okay? So the Gemara says, wait, but my shakli, but tzvon, with this kind of soap. Tzvon, what does tzvon do? Avuri me'abar hashava lo avid. When we were talking last time about taking the dye out of the shirt, what were we trying to do? To take the dye out so you could turn the shirt back to the color it was. But not so that you could now take the dye and reuse it. Once you put that soap on it, it destroys the dye. The dye can't be used again. So that's a ridiculous assumption. That can't possibly be the question. Okay? There's no option to say that. Obviously, like whatever what you said before, if that were to happen, you'd have to return the demei samimani. Okay, so that can't be the question. So we're still looking for the question. Ela hacha b'mayas kinan, kigon de gazal tzemer v'samanim dechad. Okay, you stole, what did I do? I stole your wool, and I stole your dye. V'tzave lahahu tzemer b'hanach samanim. And what did I do? I dyed your tzemer with your samanim. V'kamahad oleini alela tzemer. And then I returned to you your dyed wool. Yesh shevach sammanim al gabei tzemer, v'kamahad ole sammanim b'tzemer. Do we say that what I've returned you is a shirt with dye? Okay, let's say it very simply, right? I've returned you tzemer. How do we view this shirt? Do we view this shirt as tzemer and sammanim? Right? This shirt is made up of two components. So I stole two components, I put them together, now I return it to you, I've returned you both components. Or do we say, okay, then it would work. Odilma, or do we say, Ein shevach sammanim al gabei tzemer, v'tzemer mahadrele, sammanim lo mahadrele. But if we say the dye is not a noticeable thing, it's not tangible, then what all I've returned you is a shirt. I still owe you the money of the sammanim. Okay, we've started with saying that the guy doesn't even owe the sammanim, and now we're getting to the fact that not only does he owe the sammanim, and then some, right? He owes what he did. He used up the dye. He put it in the shirt. Now he might possibly owe even more. He has to pay double on the sammanim. So Amre, Tepukle, Diyakele Niale, Diyakele Niale Bedame. He says, no. In this case, he clearly wouldn't have to pay the sammanim. Why? Why would he have to pay extra? Think about what happened here. He actually did something good for the other guy, right? What did he do? He dyed his clothes for him. He did work for him. So what would you say? Even if he would need to pay him the sammanim, it would be counterbalanced by the fact that he raised the value of the shirt by dyeing it. You follow?
If it's the dyer's shirt and not his own.
No, this was the case was he stole the dyer's shirt or his wool, and he stole the dye, and he dyed the guy's shirt, gave it back to him. Yep. Now, this is a classic case. We're going to see this in Bava Metzia. I think we saw this in our class last year. Someone is yored l'nichsei chavero shelo b'rishuto. He goes into someone else's property, and he works the land, and he makes it good. He can demand from the person the shevach. He can't demand a salary, but he can say, look, I upped your property from 100 to 150. Now pay me the 50.
Did he ask permission to do it?
No, he didn't ask permission. But yet, since he up the value of this person's property, and this person can now sell the produce that this guy caused his property. You know, so he's given him something of value. Now, in this case, you might say, well, maybe it's a little different because maybe he didn't want a diet. Like Ani said, it's not always that you want something a particular color, and maybe he didn't want it this way. But you could say, let's say it was a merchant and he could sell it. So if he upped the value by something, well, then he'd have to be paid for that. Now, in this case, you would deduct that, right? If you want to say ein shevach samanim, then one would counterbalance the other. You follow the amount that he would get paid to increase the price, let's say it would be 20 shekels for the hour of work, and the shirt is now gone up by 20. So those will cancel each other out, and you wouldn't need to pay. Okay, that's what they're going to say now, and therefore, again, there's no real question here. But now the Gemara is going to say, no, there could be a case. Lo tzricha dizalt tziva. It could be a case where colored clothes are no longer in. It's exactly as Ani said. Maybe the fact that he dyed it was not a value at all. Okay? And then you would have this question. Okay? So now we finally come up with one possible option, which is you stole the tzemer, you stole the samanim, you dyed it. The colored stuff is out now. People like plain white wool and sheep colored wool. And then you... The whole question is, do you have to return, when you return this shirt with the samanim in it, do we say you've returned the wool with the dye in it, and therefore you're patur, because yesh shevach samanim, you're done already, you've done your obligation, or do we say, no, you just returned wool, and you therefore, I mean, I keep interchanging shirt, wool, I'm just kind of giving a shirt because it's something we can relate to more. But anyway, you return the wool, and you still have to return the samanim, because we'd say ein shevach samanim. Okay, that you know, it's not tangible, it's not noticeable, and therefore you have to additionally pay the value of the sum money you stole.
But in the case where he's made it worse, doesn't he owe him like some kind of nezek or something? Like he made.
Well, in the end, that's the thing. He's paying him now. In a sense, he's also giving him money for the dye. So he's.
That's
but
just
you're right.
Even.
You're right. It's
he's
not so fair that he's.
Position.
Right. Right, he's putting him in a worse position. First of all, zal doesn't mean it's not worth anything. It's still worth something more. It's just that the samanim are worth more than the shirt is going to be worth now. So there's still a value. It's not, I made it a little extreme. It doesn't mean nobody wants it at all. It just means it's less mevukash, less...
Do you always take that special soap?
Right, that's true. You can use the soap, which I assume is not too expensive, that soap. Yeah.
Somebody who was renting an apartment, and when he was supposed to leave, he fixed the apartment up in pristine condition. He filled in all the holes and painted basically where he had to. But the owner of the apartment was really insistent that he paint the apartment. Mm-hmm. And there was absolutely no reason to, but he said, no, the contract says you have to paint. You have to
so
paint.
He painted some
painted
crazy
black.
Color.
He painted the apartment black.
He painted the apartment black.
So changing colors.
Right, is very significant. Yes, that's miserable. Black apartment. Okay, sounds like the story of Rabbi Yeshua. You know, your walls are black, the pacham. Do you remember that story way back in Brachot with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua? Okay, v'i bayit ema, second option. Okay, this is a really funny one. Kigon ditzava b'hu kofa. Okay, now what is kofa? Okay, one could say he colored a monkey. Okay, where if you colored the monkey, well, there's absolutely no value in coloring a monkey. A monkey doesn't go up in value at all. Okay? Now, this seems quite strange. Thankfully, there's some other interpretations that we're not actually talking about a monkey. And you'll see in a minute where they actually are talking about a monkey. And maybe that's what caused the confusion here. But a monkey's going to come into play in a different area. But you colored... Some people say it's a basket. Now, a basket, people don't care if they... Now, maybe Ani will say in our modern day, people very much care about what color
course,
their baskets are.
Before.
But a basket to just carry things from the shuk, nobody cares what color it is. And it's something where instead of just zaltziv, and now we're going to the example maybe the way I said it from the beginning, where it's got no value. What you've done in coloring it is zero value. And it's the same case. It's just you stole the samanim, you stole the object, you colored the object, but the object has no value in what you colored it. And therefore, do we say that when you return the color basket, you're returning the color and the basket and the dye? Or do we say, no, it doesn't have mamash, and therefore you're just returning the basket, you haven't increased its value at all, and therefore you have to additionally return the sum of money. Okay. Those are two options. Now we're going to have another one. Ravina Amar, hacha b'mayaskina, different case. Kigon ditzemer dechad v'samanim dechad. One guy owned the tzemer. A different guy owned dye. The Ka'ate Kof, and a monkey came, who didn't belong to anybody, okay? He wasn't owned by anybody. Vitzave Lahut Semer Bahanach Sammanim. This sounds like a Curious George book, okay? Exactly. So Curious George goes, right? He dies, he takes his Semer, okay? And he makes a big concoction. Okay, now, do we say, Yesha, now what happens? We now have dyed clothing or dyed material, right? Let's just go with clothing. It's easier to talk about. So we have now a dyed shirt. Do we say, now where does the shirt go to, right? The shirt's going to end up in the hands of the guy who owned the shirt because the shirt's worth more than the sum money. So do we say, yesha, now remember, no one is to blame here. This is different from someone who goes into nechse chavero to increase the value, right? He works the land. Here, it's different because nobody did this on purpose. There was no person who came. No, but no one was a shomer here. The monkey came along.
The dyer didn't steal.
No, the monkey came, picked up the tzemer from one person's house, ran over, dumped it in somebody's. Nobody. It's a random, it's a hefker monkey. That's the whole idea. It's not owned by anybody. Okay, that's the issue. There's no one to blame here. There's no one who did any act on purpose and tried to, you know, in the end, you end up with a shirt that's worth more. So the question is, do we say, yesh shevach sammanim al gabei tzemer? Now we're back to thinking that colored shirts are better. Do we say, there's shevach sammanim al gabei tzemer, and it's noticeable, and therefore, da'amar le, havli simanai digabach ninhu, and the guy who owned the sammanim can say, listen, I know you didn't intend to do this, but right now your shirt's worth more. Pay me the value of my dye. I lost out on this deal, right? I end up with nothing, and you end up with something more than what you had before. So therefore, you should give me the value of my sum money. O Dilma, or do we say, ain't shevach sum money wagabei tzemer? The guy just ends up with a shirt. We don't, right? It doesn't, there's nothing tangible in the shirt. The fact that it's dyed is not tangible. And therefore, va'amar le, the guy who now has the tzemer, can say to the other guy, le lach gabei klum, you have nothing. I don't have anything of yours. Do you see some money in here? I don't see some money. I just see color. I don't see dye. Okay? Therefore, I don't have to pay you anything. So that's another option. So we now have a few options as to what this question is. I think by now you understand a little better what the question is about it being tangible or not. Now we want to try to find an answer. So Tashma, let's try to learn from here. Beged shetzva'o b'klipei orla yidalek. Okay. Orla is fruits for the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat them. And not only you're not allowed to eat them, they have what's called isur hana'a, and you have to burn them. Okay? Now, if not only the orla itself, but even the klipa, even the part that you don't eat, okay, you have to burn. So let's say you took the klipa, the peel of an orange. You turned it into a dye, okay, something like that. Let's say, I don't know if it can be, but you take something that can be turned into a dye and you color your shirt with it. So what does it say? You have to burn the shirt. So what do you see? Samanmanim yesh behu mamash, because if it didn't have mamash, then you wouldn't have to burn them. Alma chazuta miltahi. Here's where they say it. Therefore, color or something you can see, right, is considered something. Okay. Amar Rava says no. Orla is a unique halacha. It's not, you can't learn from here to anything else. Why? Because it says, Hana'a hanir'ala einayim asra Torah. Specifically, by Orla, there's a special chiyuv that even something that you can only see, right, but isn't, you can't, this is like your chushim, you can see but you can't feel it. You can't feel the color in my shirt. Okay, so, Hana'a hanir'ala einayim asra Torah. Titania, how do we learn this? Arelim lo yechel, ein li ela yisur achila. Minayin shelo yehenem imenu, velo yitzbabo, velo yadlikbo ataner. When you say arelim lo yechel, it means you can't eat it when it's orla. That's just yisur achila. But how do you know that you can't get hana from it, that you can't color, dye something with it, and you can't light a fire with it? Talmud lomar, v'oraltem orlato et puryo. What do you see? The word orla appears 3 times in this pasuk. And then it says, Arelim lo yochel, lirabot et kulam. Okay? And here the assumption is that these are even 3 separate things. There's hana'a, there's tzvi'a, and there's adligata or. Or you could say it's hana'a, which includes 2 things. It's unclear exactly how to read this, but what do we say? The fact that it says the word orla 3 times in that pasuk comes to include extra things, which means it's a unique halacha by Orla. We can't learn from this to other things. Tashma, let's try this one. Beged shetzva'o b'klipei shvi'it. Yidaleh. Ah, here we have, okay, when it comes to perot shvi'it, you're not allowed to sell them, right? And not only can you not sell them, but you also can't sell their the klipot, okay? Things that come from them, okay? And so now what do we say? If you dyed something with a klipei shvi'it, you have to burn it. So what do they say? Because you're also only allowed to use shvi'it for eating, not for anything else. You can't use them for dyeing because they have kedusha. So if you've misused the kedusha, then you have to burn it, just like with the orla. You've misused something that's holy, you have to burn it. Where else do we see it? Truma, right? Truma tamea, you have to burn. So what do we say? Here you see. Right? It's just got the color in it. It's not anything real, and yet you have to burn it, and it's not orla where we have a special limud in the pasuk. So therefore, we're going to assume that this can teach you that chazuta, right, is milta. So what do they answer? No, again, this is unique. Unique halacha by shvi. Why? Shane hatam damakra tihiye. Okay, where is that? It's a word that could be, right, out of context. So the pasuk by Shmita says, it's in Vayikra Kafhe, pasuk zayin, ula behem techa velachaya asher ba'artzecha tiye kol tfuata le'echol. Okay, it will be for your animals to eat in the field. And it's for you and your house, for the animals in the field. That's what you're supposed to have it for. So what does it mean? Behavayata tehe. Okay, it should be, and how we explain this? It's any form, basically. Any form is going to be forbidden, right? Any way you have it. So here again, it's a riboy to include cases that might not be included in regular cases. So it might not can't necessarily teach you about dyes in general. Okay. Rava Rame, Rava now says we have a contradiction between two Tanaitic sources. Beged shetzva'o b'klipei orla yidalek, alma chazuta miltahi. If you say this, going back to the orla case, it sounds like if you're tzva'o b'klipei orla, it burns, that would imply that something that you see is considered substantial. Even though we rejected that before, we said it's only unique by Orla, but here they're going to say, right, we could still assume possibly the chazuta is miltahi. Uraminhi, and this contradicts another source. Rivi'it dam shenivla'a bebayit, habayit tamei. If you have blood that got absorbed somewhere into the house, okay, there was blood that was matame. Now, blood of a live person, one second. Blood of...
It's a corpse.
Right, it's blood of a corpse, okay? Blood of a corpse is mitame. So revi'itam, if you have blood from a corpse that gets absorbed into the house is going to become tame. Ve'amrela habayit tahor. And some people say no. If it gets absorbed into the house, right, what does this mean, the habayit tame? It means the kelim that are in that house are going to be tame, like oel, right? If there's a bone of a dead person. Now, likewise, if there's blood. But blood is different than a bone, because a bone is in existence, and the blood gets absorbed into something. So, they say, there's a machloket about it. But now they say, this actually isn't a machloket. Okay, we haven't yet gotten to how this contradicts. Hold off for a minute. This actually isn't a contradiction, because this is a mission in Oalot. Ha b'kelim de'havu me'ikara, ha b'kelim de'atu levasof. When they say that bayit is tameh, it means when the blood is in the house, right? Let's say there's a dead body in the house and blood comes out of it. So the blood that comes out of the dead body is mitameh everything in the house. Then the blood gets absorbed into the ground, okay, of the house, right? Because remember the floors were kind of dirt. The blood gets absorbed. At that point, anything new that comes into the house is not tameh. Okay, whereas if the bone were in existence in the house, it would be tameh. And as long as that bone is still there, everything is tameh. But nivala biksut, let's say it gets absorbed into a shirt. This is going to be very similar to the dye, because, right, it's like the shirt is now, you have a blood spot on your shirt. Ro'im, we check. What do we check for? Im itkabesa taksut biyotse mimenu revi'itam tme'ah. No, wait. It's, right, there's a nusach ha'od. I have to remember which way we want to go. It's tme'ah, right? If the blood can come out of the shirt, if you can get out a revi'itam, you soak that shirt, right, and the blood comes out, and you have a revi'itam. Now, exactly how you'd be able to measure the revi'itam, right? If you soak it in water, then it's... You think, no, but if, you have to have enough blood to come out that's actual blood, not mixed with water, let's say. But let's say it's blood soaked and you just wring it out, right? And blood comes dripping out and you have a ravid of dam. So then it's going to be tmeah. Vim lav, tehora. But if not, it's going to be tahor. So what do you see? Now, if you have a blood spot and you can't, right, what happens? You try to wash out a blood spot, you still see it, right? The blood is still there, but you can't necessarily get it out. So what do you see here? Mar'eh is not considered anything, okay? And that would contradict the source by Orla. So what do they answer here? Amarav Kahana, mikule revi'it shanu. This is a kula of revi'iyot. Why? It's one of, there was a list of all these things about a revi'it is mekel, right? What's the thing here? If you can't get out a revi'it of dam, then we're mekel and we say it's tahor. Why? Why were we mekel here? Kam bidam tfusa derabanan. Okay, what did they say? This case is not a classic case the way we explained it from the beginning, that was blood of a corpse. This is what you call dam tfusa. What's dam tfusa? It's blood that's got a mixture of blood from a live person and blood from a dead person. Okay, you can imagine someone's dying, blood comes out of their body, and then more blood comes out once they're dead. So this mixture now, if you don't know that the majority is from when he was alive or dead, you don't know what the majority is, then it's called dam tfusa, and it's only asur midrabanan. Because this is only derabanan, they were mekel on the mar'eh, and they said the mar'eh is lo klum. But in a case where you would, where you would where it's d'oraita, then you would say the blood, that mar'eh is something, and therefore it doesn't necessarily contradict. Okay, Rav is going to bring another contradiction. Tnan. Mimin hatsov'im. Okay, if you have, this is a shvi'it halacha. Okay, you have, shvi'it is generally things that you can eat, right? It's all relating to things that you can eat. What if it's relating to trees that you can make or plants that you can make dye from, okay? Where you don't generally eat them. So, svichei satim vikotza. Okay, there's different opinions about what this is. I'm going to go with the Koren because in general I find linguistically the Steinsaltz has very good explanations. So they say satim is woad, which is used for an indigo dye, and kotza they say is safflower, which is used for a yellow dye. Okay, so these are different plants that, again, you don't eat. Yesh lahen shvi'it ulidmehen shvi'it. They have halachot of shvi'it apply to them, and if you sell them, they might say, wait a minute, you're not allowed to sell shvi'it. What are they talking about selling them? So one option is to say, if you sell them b'isur, okay, you might not be allowed to, but if you do, they still have kedusha. Alternatively, there are certain ways where shvi'it stuff is allowed. Like, for example, you take into your house what you think you're going to use, and then you don't use everything, so you can sell it for, usually I think they say for like a very low market price. You can't really make money off of it, but you can sell it to cover your cost. So either you sold it in a mutar way or an asur way, okay, but the damim of these items also have shvi'it. Yesh lahem bi'or, ulid mehem bi'or. And also the halachot of bi'or apply. What's bi'or? If you remember, we learned this. By shvi'it, what happens? Because it's for you and your animals to eat in the fields, as soon as there's nothing left on the tree, okay, or there's nothing left out in the fields of that item, you have to get rid of everything that you brought into your house of that item. That's called bi'or. So the same thing will apply for these dye plants. Okay, these plants you're using for dyeing, the same halachot would apply. What do you see from here? Alma etzim yesh behem mishum kedushat shvi'it. What was to be implied from here? That trees that aren't used for eating, right, would have kedushat shvi'it. Okay, we've now gotten a little off topic. We're talking about shvi'it now and trees and dying, and so we're now getting off on a tangent. Uriminhi, and this seems to contradict a different source, Tanaitic source. Alei kanim va'alei gfanim. If you took reed leaves or leaves from a vine, shegibivam b'cheve al p'neas sadeh, you collected them in a pile in your field in order to use them to store them up. Depends what you were storing them for. Liktam achila, if they were for achila, now what are you eating, reeds and vine leaves? No, it's for your animals, okay? If you gather them in a pile for your animals to eat, then yesh b'am mishum kedushat shvi'it, then obviously they're going to have kedushat shvi'it to them. But le'etzim, but if you're using them to burn fires, right, to use in your oven, well then, ein b'am mishum kedushat shvi'it. So what do you see here? that we said about the Saman Manim, that where it has Kedushat Shvi'it even though you're not eating it. And here it says, if you're not eating it and using it for fire, so you're Eim HaMishum Kedushat Shvi'it. So now the answer, Mishane Amarkra Le'ochla. Where do we learn the whole issue of Kedushat, the whole idea of Kedushat, the concept of Kedushat Shvi'it? From the Pasuk, it's for you and your animals to eat. Now, eat can also mean to consume, right? Consume can mean to eat something, or to burn it, or to use it. Okay, so now, what are they going to say? B'mi shahana'ato u'biro shavim. Yatzu etzim shahana'atam achar bi'uran. What are they going to say now? It applies to all things where the hana'a and the consumption come at the same time. When you consume these samimanim plants, at that moment, you've died the item. You've gotten benefit from it. Whereas when it comes to trees, when you burn them, when do you get the benefit? After. It's that you burn them to get the coals hot, and the coals only get hot over time, and then you can use them. First you use, right? First they get, you put the wood on top of the coals. The wood all burns. It's gone. You still haven't gotten pleasure from it because it's only now warming up the coals. So because of that, wood, etzim, are treated differently when it comes to consumption for fire, and they don't have kedushat shvi'it, whereas they do when it comes to the dyeing process, where the hana'ah happens at the same time as the consumption. So now they say, wait a minute. V'ha'ika etzim, dimashchan, there's etzim, there's wood that's oily, that they're hana'atan u'biran shavim. Now some people say, Rashi says you use it, like this fire you use for a torch. Okay, to use for light, not for burning. There, the consumption and the hana'ah comes at the same time. So, what do you say to that? So, Amar Rava, stam etzim lahasakayin umdim. We're going by basic etzim. Basic etzim, you know, I would say not basic, the majority. The majority of etzim are not used for light, they're used for burning. So, therefore, we're going to treat etzim by the majority, which is their hana'ah comes after their consumption, and therefore they don't have to do shachvi. But when it comes to dying, since the consumption happens at the same time as the hana'ah comes at the same time as the consumption, we're going to treat them with do shachvi. So that was a side thing, however, it related to the whole dying process that we've talked about.